antagonism between the Philistines and the Israelites. But in this particular one, there was a Philistine champion from Gath named Goliath. Goliath was a giant. Some say a remnant of a race called the Amalekites, or the Anakites, who were, you know, who knows where they came from, but there's rumors that they, angels mated with humans and these giant humans were created. We don't really know. The biblical text doesn't come out and say it. But there were these giants. He was over 9 feet tall. That's significant. I mean, we don't see any, at least I haven't, you know, I've met some 7 foot somethings, but no 9 footers in my life anyway. They might be somewhere. So this guy's 9 feet tall, and the scriptures say for 40 days he strutted in between the armies of Israel and the Philistines, and he taunted the Israelites and basically said, "You can't take me. Send somebody out to fight me. You guys are cowards. And why don't you send your champion out, and whoever wins the battle, if I win the battle, you'll become our slaves. And if you win, we'll become your slaves." Whether that would have ever happened or not, I don't know. So Goliath is taunting, and the Israelites are basically standing there, shaking in their armor, going, you know. And these are some warriors. I mean, these guys had been through some battles. So this isn't like a bunch of sissies necessarily. These guys are hardened warriors. But it's almost like they knew combat enough to know that this guy was not a guy to be messed with. You know, I think sometimes we almost get too professional in what we're even good at, even with spirituality. And we're like, you know what? I've got too much wisdom to go take on that thing. You know what I mean? I mean, we can almost become too much of an expert to actually believe God, you know, when he's telling us to go face these giants. And so as this picture is sort of forming as I'm reading this, and I'm going to read just a short passage of this from verse 40 to 51. We're going to pick up in verse 40. Of course, you know, David shows up, this little shepherd boy, and I shouldn't say shepherd boy, he's a young man at this time. And he comes and he goes, "Who is this guy and why hasn't someone killed him yet?" You know, I mean, he just says basically like his attitude, like, "Who is this guy and why hasn't someone killed him yet?" And everybody else is, and he gets taken to Saul. And Saul goes, you have no idea what you're talking about. This guy's been a man of war for like the last 20 years. We know what this guy is. We've been in a few battles. You are no match for this guy." David, of course, insists. He's like, "You have no, I've killed lions. I've killed bears. My God will come and show up." This guy's mocking God and God's people. And so eventually Saul relents. And we're picking up in verse 40. So David picks up 5 smooth stones from a stream and he puts them into his shepherd's bag. That reminds me, I'm going to grab my shepherd's bag here for a second. That's something cool in here. All right. It's there. All right. Back to the story. So he picks up 5 smooth stones from a stream and he puts them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only a shepherd's staff and a sling, he starts across the valley to fight the Philistine. Verse 41, "Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. 'Am I a dog?' he roared at David, 'that you would come at me with a stick.' And he cursed David by the names of his gods. 'Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals,' Goliath yelled." Verse 45, "David replied to the Philistine, 'You come at me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us.'" Whoa, there's a lot of revelation there. Verse 48, "As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and then fell face down on the ground." So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. "Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head." Wow. I don't know about you guys, but when I read that story and just picture myself in that situation, I think this guy has a shocking level of faith. Here's a couple things that I know from the scripture. This guy really believed that God was real. Okay? Because nobody would go against this guy unless you really had a revelation that God was real. Not only that God was real, but that the God of the universe was actually backing him up in this battle. I mean, that's a whole nother layer. You know, you can believe that God is real and not be so sure about whether he's with you on any particular exploit or any particular battle that you might be facing in your life. And so he had both revelations, I would say. He knew God was real. He knew God was behind him. And the crazy thing is, this guy actually killed the giant. I mean, that's the crazy thing, with a stone. I mean, and you hear the testimony that I think God was kissing in this and bearing witness to in this was David saying, this is the Lord's battle and he will give you to us. In other words, clearly David was not relying on his own strength, on his own capability. He was relying on God coming and doing something in a supernatural way to take this giant out. So as I read this story, you guys, and I was... This, the Lord brought me to this story in the context of the LGBT community. And, you know, I started to, my heart began to wander back to this whole idea of like the church and this stronghold of the LGBT community. And I started to see the similarities between this story and where the church is today in modern America. We are the Israelites. We have armies. We have armies. And you know what's crazy about this is once that giant went down, the Israelites like lit up and they're like, yeah, and they all stormed and like wiped out the Philistines. In fact, it took, I can't remember what it was, but several days to like just gather the plunder. Literally, when the Philistines saw that giant fall, fear struck their hearts, courage struck the hearts of the Israelites, and they absolutely routed and decimated this army. So that's another thing that's important for us to lay hold of, because I think what the church is waiting for is they're waiting for a testimony of the giant falling. You know, when the church actually hears a testimony of that giant falling, the church is going to rush at this thing and go at it hard. You know, but until then, I felt the Lord was challenging my heart. I mean, I really saw the picture very clearly. Okay, the Israelites are the church. The LGBT stronghold is Goliath in our land, and no one wants to go deal with this thing. And so, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, where are my Davids? Where are my Davids in this generation? Because you know what? We can read this thing and we can hear all these incredible stories, but it's the same God that's now dwelling on the inside of us is the one that wrote these stories. These are real. These things happen, and he wants to do them in our generation, but he's waiting for his Davids to rise up and run at these giants filled with faith and power and declare the word of the Lord and watch these things come down. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I'm going to freak out up here. I'm going to freak out. Woo! All right. I just felt like God was saying, where are those that will believe me? That I'm a God who slays giants. I'm a God who moves in your weakness. I see how weak you are. You're weak, you're broken, you're afraid, you don't want to run at this. That's where I come in. That's where I come in and release supernatural grace for you to believe me. I give you the faith, and then I back you up when you go running at this giant, and I show you what will happen when you believe unto me. Come on, somebody. So, I really felt like the Lord was challenging me personally in that dialogue. And so I just said, okay, God, you know, I'm not a David necessarily, but I'm willing to at least pray and find out what you want us to do. You know, I know you're highlighting this community. I mean, clearly you're speaking to me out of the scriptures. So I called a prayer meeting. That's what we do. You know, we're an evangelism ministry, but we don't do anything unless we hear Jesus say, I'm sending you to go do this thing. So we gathered a bunch of friends together to pray. We started praying, and in this, you know, it was a good prayer meeting. I mean, the Holy Spirit was there. we prayed for the LGBT community. We prayed that they would get saved. We prayed that God would show us how to do this. I mean, you know, all the good prayers, we prayed them. And then at the end of this meeting, there was this guy at the meeting, and he never really came to our prayer meetings. He was like at one outreach we did. That's how, I don't even know how he found out about, oh, I think I did tell him about the meeting because he had called me about something else. So I do know how he got to it. I shared with him that we were having this and just invited him kind of casually to this prayer meeting. So he came and he said, do you mind if I share something? This is after we'd prayed all these prayers. I hadn't shared any of the story that I've shared with you. And he said, you know what I love about this book? He said, I was in the Holy Land about 15 years ago, and he was doing tours of the Holy Land and helping different groups go around the Holy Land and kind of go through the scriptures. He said, what I love about this book is that all these things happened in real places on the earth. That when you go to these places, these things that the Bible talks about are actually there. You know, you can go and see the Mount of Olives. You can go and see where the temple was built. You can go and see where these epic battles took place. He said, the most amazing thing happened to me. He said, when I was, you know, after I did these tours, I took a season of just kind of exploring the Holy Land on my own. And the Lord brought me to the battle site where the Philistines and the Israelites faced off against Goliath. It's the battle site in 1 Samuel 17. And he said, there's a stream near this area, and I know it's the stream that David got these rocks from because it's the only stream anywhere near where this battle took place. And he said, the Lord took me down this stream, and he said, no, don't stay here. The tourists kind of know this spot. Keep going. And the Spirit led him down this stream through a ravine, and you know, it was about half a mile or something, and brought him to this area, and the Holy Spirit said, here. He looked into the stream, and there were smooth stones in the bottom of the stream. And he said, I want you to take some of those stones and bring them back to America. So I reached in and I grabbed them and I put them in my bag and I brought them back to America, and they've been in storage for the last 15 years. So, but something told me that before I came to the meeting this morning, I was supposed to bring these stones and give them to you. Does that mean anything to you? I said, yeah, that means something. That means my God is real. And it means he's behind me. He wants to take this giant down. That's what it means. Now I know what David felt like. And I know it's not just me. I know it's the church that he's after, his bride. He's calling all of us into this battle. Yeah, those are the kind of moments where you stop, you know, you know your destiny is unfolding in front of you. You know that God is real, that he's moving in this. So I was convinced that we were to take the next step. And we felt as a leadership team that the next step for us was to scout the land. It's biblical. You know, we don't know anything about the LGBT community. I mean, you know, we're evangelists, so we run into people who are in that lifestyle, and we certainly witness to them and the grace that God gives us. And so we've learned some things about addressing that stronghold, but certainly we're not subject matter experts. And so we knew that we needed to. And the other thing that I realized in this whole process, even though you know God's calling you to a people group, and I believe the LGBT community is an unreached people group. I mean, it's basically an unreached people group in our own nation. You know, I mean, I'm not against foreign missions. I love, you know, that's biblical that we would send missionaries off. But we've got a lot of unreached people groups right here. I mean, we've got about 150 people groups just in the Twin Cities. I mean, you could save a lot of airfare and just walk across the street and talk to somebody, you know, and show that. I mean, God's actually brought the nations here. This is the only nation.